You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
What's up, Atlanta? No Carl Dukes, just for a second. He is getting connected down at the Skyhawks College Park. You know the action. Hawks, Skyhawks fever, Zinno, as we say. Catch it. It is Dukes and Bell. Zinno's in for Bell, who is vacationing. And like I said, I am Chris Thomas Turtle in for just a second for Carl Dukes until he gets connected down at the arena. Mark Zinno. I am excited to hear over the next 5 hours.
You're the only one.
Yeah, you're breathing fire hot takes across the great city of Atlanta on all things Atlanta sports.
There's nothing hot about them. They're just based in fact and a lot of logical, well thought out arguments about the way things should be around here.
Well, those logical, well thought out arguments tend to tick a lot of people off, if we're being completely honest.
Most people are illogical. What can I tell you?
Yeah.
It's hard to be an island of one.
All right, so because that's how we start the program here.
Who do you think is like working with me less, Dukes or Oren?
No, I don't think it's
Oren. Okay.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, I don't know if it's a matter of less. It's just different strokes for different folks. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
All right, we'll get into the Hawks in just a second because the All-Star break is here and we have All-Show to talk about that. But I want to wind you up a little bit.
No,
because you said in our text chat this morning that you may have something for Terry Fontenot.
It's not something for Terry Fontenot. I think that, as this offseason starts to unfold and where things are going, I mean, this is if last year wasn't a make-or-break year for Terry Fontenot, this year absolutely is. I mean, there are so many questions about this roster at so many key positions. You have 3/5 of your offensive line in turmoil right now.
Whoa, 3/5?
Yeah.
Okay, so center.
Yeah, that's one.
Okay, I agree with you on that, by the way.
Now, a lot of this turmoil surrounds the salary cap as well.
Right.
But, you would agree that a left tackle is really important, wouldn't you?
Well, right tackle.
Okay, there's exactly the point.
Right.
So, the guy protecting his blind side now, who's in the final year of his deal, is that the guy protecting Michael Penix for the next 4, 5, 6 years?
No.
Okay, what do you do?
Well.
Do you leave it for one more year?
Well,
in a developmental year where he's going to start 17 games?
Here's the problem. Are you doing that?
You're not switching Jake over there.
No, you're not. But do you have too many needs on the other side of the ball? That's a luxury item, in my opinion, right now.
No, I would not. In fact, I'd put that the exact opposite. Because developing your quarterback and making sure that he is okay and that making sure that he grows and that he isn't getting hit from behind on a routine basis is more important to any level of success.
But
right?
I didn't think Caleb was a turnstile last year.
Well, again, it's different. They'll put their best. Let's see what teams do, right? Because lefty quarterbacks are always a little bit of a challenge from that standpoint. There's not a lot of them. And do teams put their best pass rusher on the other side against the Falcons? And this isn't about whether Caleb McGarry is a turnstile or not. Who do you want protecting your first-round investment for the next 4, 5, 6 years? That's a question that needs to be answered now.
But
that's
Zinno,
not a question that you delay into the audience.
No. Zinno. You can't go into the season with the defense in the state that it was in to end the year.
No, of course not. Of course not. This all of this boils down to the one very simple notion that you have to get Kirk Cousins off the roster. You have to free up 20-plus million in cap space. You have to.
Well, they're 11 over right now.
Okay. You have to free up. By March 1st, March 11th, beginning of the league?
12th,
whatever it is. I don't understand how you can literally walk. I understand, and I think the Falcons mean exactly what they say, that they are willing to keep him, right? Comfortable is not a good word, because if that's comfortable, that's like riding on a bicycle with no seat kind of comfortable.
But they said they were comfortable before he did what he did. You still believe that now? No way.
I mean, yes, I do, because, you know.
Well, you're the only
thing
one, man.
The one thing the Falcons have a problem doing is admitting their mistakes, right? They have a very hard time admitting their mistakes.
Sure.
And to bail on this whole thing after 1 year is admitting that it was a disaster.
But not after he spit on your face like that, because that's exactly what he did.
Yes and no. I mean, it's kind of a little bit of, you know, they spit on his face by drafting a guy, his replacement, without telling him ahead of time when he signed here.
Okay.
Because had they told him, hey, Kirk, by the way, we have plans on drafting this guy 8th if he falls to us, you know, that's we're going to sign you. But yeah, you think Kirk might have said, yeah, maybe I would go back to Minnesota.
Well, if my mama taught me right, Zeno, by the way, it is Chris Thomas. Carl Dukes will be connecting with us just a minute down from the Skyhawks Arena. Mark Zeno is in for Mike Bell. It is Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. My mama told me, Zeno, two wrongs don't make a right.
Yeah, I get that. But the point simply is that if Terry Fontenot would like the ability to improve this team dramatically enough to make the playoffs and win this division, there are a lot of different pieces. What are you doing with Onyemata? What are you doing with Jarrett? What are you doing with Justin Simmons? What are you doing at kicker? What are you doing? There's so many questions on this roster. It's hard to figure out what the priorities. And yes, it's easy to say, you know, just go on defense and fix all that. Sure. But again, you don't have a large enough sample size on offense, because the last time I checked, other than beating the hapless Giants, in which they only scored 21 offensive points or 24.
Yeah, it was the Giants and the Giants and the Raiders.
They didn't, it wasn't exactly like the offense lit the world on fire in three games under Michael Penix, so we don't know what we're getting.
And Kirk was awful in his last game against the Raiders. We know that, too.
So you know, to say that... I think the offensive problems can be fixed, or the offensive things can be fixed a lot with play calling and scheme, personally. I think, you know, we have to see what Zach Robinson is in year two. But when you look at this roster, there's a lot of questions at this point in time as they head into the offseason. And I don't know which direction they know. All I know is that if you keep $40 million against the cap sitting there providing you with absolutely zero production, that's a derelict move by this GM.
No, you're right. But then which one is it then? You got to pick one. You can't have your cake and eat it too in this instance.
Pick one and what?
Meaning, which are you going to allocate the resources to? I think for me, Caleb McGarry, I know it was a small sample size, but given what I saw from him last year protecting Michael Penix's blind side, he was good enough that I think you still need to put defensive line, cornerback two, nickel, safety, linebacker.
You're never going to be able to solve all those in one off season. So, you know, again.
No, but right now you don't have starters in some of those positions.
Fair. Again, you're sort of proving my point for me, that there is so much for Terry Fontenot to do this offseason. There is so much for him to accomplish to try and set this team on a course. And I pointed this out, too. You know, those who fail to remember history are doomed to repeat it. You want to see doomed to repeat it? What happened to Thomas Dimitroff going into his last year? Look at all the contracts they handed out that hamstrung the team for 3 and 4 years after that. You're at a GM, theoretically, and I don't know if Arthur Blank has promised them more than a year or anything like that or what's going on, but the point simply is that if you miss the playoffs 5 straight years as a GM, you don't earn the right to keep your job. You just don't. Not in today's NFL. It's a different world, you know? So the idea that with zero draft success other than two guys, right to this point, Bijan Robinson and Drake London.
First round.
Okay, first round, yeah, but where is anybody else? What other draft pick has really made it? Last year's draft pack provided you with zero. There was nothing. It was a bomb of a draft.
Yeah, you're right.
So from that standpoint, again, with no draft track record to think of, with limited free agent signings that have made impact, again, Judon. I mean, Jesse Bates is the best free agent that this team has signed in quite some time. Other than that, three goods versus all the misses are not enough for me to believe that if they miss the playoff next year, he's going to keep his job. So
I don't even think that's not a question, you know. I don't think that he's going to keep his job if they don't make the playoffs. I don't think that's a question.
There's an argument to say he should have lost it this year.
Well, right, but I think everyone, you know, with two eyes can see that if this team goes a fifth consecutive year under him with not only not making the playoffs but potentially not getting a winning record, there's a 0% chance he keeps his job.
Well, there you go. So, again, are you going to let somebody in this status make decisions about the team for the next 3, 4, 5 years about who's here and who isn't? Because there's not a lot of two- and three-year contracts you hand out, not to high-level starters. And if what you're telling, if what you're saying is accurate to an extent, I believe it is, about all these positions that they have needs of, 2 and 3 guys you sign to 1, 2, 3-year contracts are stopgap guys.
But I don't think they're going to even have to worry about that much this offseason because, quite frankly, you know, they can't. They don't have the money to do that.
And that's the point.
They're going to have
to
hit. You
will free up a ton of cap space and a ton of flexibility to if you get him off the roster, if you get Cousins off the roster. That's priority number one.
No, but not for this year.
Why?
This year's a sunk cost.
It's not a sunk cost. If you trade him with a post-June 1st designation, your cap hit is $12.5 million.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Million.
But who's trading for him?
Well, again, that's the GM's job.
But Zeno, I don't know if you've been listening or not to Dukes and Bell. I don't know.
I told you, I can't listen to just half the show.
I know. Well, okay. Moving on. We are all acting as if he's not getting traded, because he's not. Who's taking him?
There is, and oh, by the way, to quell this whole thing, the Jets are not interested in Kirk Cousins, folks. The upgrade from Aaron Rodgers, who is a 40-year-old quarterback coming off a down year and an Achilles injury, is not to sign a 37-year-old quarterback coming off an off year off an Achilles injury. That's not, so whatever is out there, whatever that rumor is, it's not. It's nothing but internet fodder. The Jets are not interested in Kirk Cousins.
Well, I don't.
I will buy this whole show a steak dinner if Kirk Cousins ends up on the Jets.
All right, we will hold you to that. But Rich Samidi's. Yeah, Rich Samini's not a guy who's been covering the Jets for 30 years that just throws stuff out there. He's a legitimate, credible guy.
I'm not debating it. Again, the Jets, if we believe that the Falcons are going to hang on to Kirk Cousins, which you have just said they are, then how are they going to get him? They're not going to cut him. They have to trade for him.
Why wouldn't they cut him?
What's that?
Why wouldn't they cut him?
You just said it was a sunk cost. The methodology of not cutting him is that if Michael Penix bombs or gets hurt, at least you have a viable backup.
You can't bring him back after what he did.
Well, so then we're on the same page. What are you arguing with me for?
Because the only way to get rid of him is to cut him. They're not going to be able to trade him.
I believe the Falcons when they say they're not going to cut him. I actually believe them on that.
I do not.
I do, because again, they are not good at admitting their mistakes.
Yeah, but
if they were going to cut him, it should have been done already.
But if this one wasn't so egregious to the point where he went on national television and embarrassed the entire organization.
I think this is aggressive. What Kirk Cousins and his camp did was create a market for himself to let everybody know he's no longer injured. That was the reason for his drop-off, and they're trying to create a market for him so somebody can come calling with a trade.
But by doing that, he made the Falcons look like a bunch of you-know-what.
I don't think him and his representatives care. That's not up to them to care.
But regardless, if you're the Falcons and he did that to you're not going to keep him.
You don't believe the Falcons. I do. I do believe them when they say that they are going to keep him on the roster if they don't get a trade for him. And again, there's no reason to cut him when a trade will net you a better result, which is a less cap hit, a lower cap hit.
But what team? You just got this model proven by Russell Wilson about what needs to be done to get the veteran quarterback with the cap hit off the roster. The team cuts him, and then you pick him up for $1 million. Why would any team do anything other than that?
Because, again, the way the trade is structured, they don't have to pay any of it. All they do is absorb the cap hit. It's not money coming out of the owner's pocket. The Falcons are paying this contract. No one else is going to take on the weight of this contract. So in order to make a trade, they have to absorb most of the actual function of paying Kirk Cousins. The cap numbers are what they are regardless of the trade. Who pays the money is ultimately what makes the trade happen. And the Falcons are going to have to eat, Arthur Blank is going to have to eat a large portion of paying that contract for the trade to be consummated. You can't eat cap money. You can't trade cap money.
Why would another team give up an asset when they don't have to?
Because the asset is a fourth round conditional pick.
No.
For a starter in the league. Yes, it is. What do you think the Falcons are going to get for him?
Nothing. Because you don't have to.
Again, you will get a draft pick compensation for him, a fourth or a fifth, whatever it may be. That's all they're going to give in return. The Falcons are going to get over a barrel on this one to make the trade happen.
All right.
That's what has to happen here.
Only time will tell. Sounds like
it's going to be so damn good, Turtle.
Yeah, sounds like Carl Dukes is on his way back. He'll be back next segment. We'll get him posted up. It is Chris Thomas hanging out with you with Mark Zeno, Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, Odyssey app.
Zeno's not on for 5 minutes, and yet he's firing people and telling you Kirk Cousins is headed somewhere where somebody's going to trade for him. Can't believe it. It's Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Glad to have you in, Zeno. And Big Turtle, thank you, man. Appreciate you stepping in there as we got things squared away. I have a lot to get to today. We will certainly talk about what Mark was just mentioning about the Falcons because they do have major decisions to get to. But we got to talk to Rob Bradford, should I say. We love talking to Rob. He's a host of Baseball Isn't Boring podcast. He does a tremendous job covering MLB, Odyssey MLB Insider. And Rob, as spring training gets underway, pitchers and catchers yesterday, full squad workout next week, everybody's talking about what the Braves didn't do this offseason. I am not as concerned as many Braves fans are, and I want to get your thoughts on this because I still think with a healthy club, we're going to be a contending team. But everybody saw what the Dodgers did and lost their minds and said, well, why didn't the Braves do anything? Are you fearing that the Braves didn't do enough?
Well, two things. And first of all, I want to apologize to all your listeners for saying Matthew Judon was going to be the answer for the Falcons. So I think last time I was on. So yeah. I'll take that one. I'll take that one on the chin. So, but I also, every time I feel like I talk with you guys, and I always love talking with you guys, I always appreciate you having me on, I'm always like the optimist when it comes to the Braves. And I'm kind of going to do it again. And it really hasn't been talked a lot about in baseball because of, like you said, the perceived inactivity. Why the other teams in Major League Baseball or in the National League, the top-tier teams, the Dodgers and the Mets and the Phillies, I mean, they're at least doing something. But I come back to exactly what you said, which is the Braves are a top-tier team because this is what we viewed them as when they locked all these guys up. Yes, you are taking a chance anytime you do get guys locked up to long-term extensions. You are taking that chance that they're going to perform like you hope they will. But for the most part, I think that the guys that they locked up, there was a reason everyone was patting Alex Anthopoulos on the back for all of last year because I think these are good players. I think this is a good team, and I think that they can absolutely be in that top tier. We all know. We all know the deal. The Dodgers are at the top, and then I would put the Mets, the Phillies, and the Braves, and maybe the Cubs in that second tier. But as we've seen in the playoffs, that's okay. That's okay. You can get by with that.
When you look at the Braves and sort of, you know, the lack of improvements that they made, you go into it. What's your biggest concern? I mean, Matt Olson obviously has to return to form. The bullpen, you know, isn't what it was 2 or 3 years ago. Where do you kind of put the biggest concern? Even Spencer Strider in the starting pitching staff now without Max Fried.
Yeah, well, that's the thing, is that, right, we can't discount the loss of Max Fried. And you know, even a guy like, I know Charlie Morton was what he was, but still, you're taking guys out and you have to replace whatever they delivered there. So I think that's where you have to start. And you have to hope that Strider comes back and he's the Strider that we know. But so I think that that's probably where I would start in terms of really, really hoping that the guys that are solutions to the guys I just mentioned of leaving, that they step up and they're okay. And as you said, you know, you haven't come in and say, oh, there's your lockdown bullpen. And I know this is a general term or general sort of view of things, but I think your stars have to be stars. Mm-hmm. And that's what it comes down to, is it's not that complicated, guys. I mean, your stars have to be stars in this day and age of baseball. When everyone was talking about sustainability and calling guys up and having prospect and looking for the guy with a good spin rate with the 5 ERA, well, the teams that have done well have stars who are stars. And I think the Braves at least have some of those guys who can be them, but they have to be that way heading in this year.
Totally agree. Rob Bradford joining us, host of Baseball Isn't Boring, the podcast, Odyssey MLB Insider here on Dukes and Bell. Do you believe that MLB is moving towards a salary cap? This is another question a lot of people are talking about with the way this offseason went.
Nah, I think they're moving more toward a lockout than a salary cap. I mean, it's we hear this all the time, and unfortunately, this is the world of baseball, the union and the owner and the owners and how dysfunctional we all have seen it. We saw it a couple years ago where everyone thought baseball was literally falling off a cliff, that it was the end. Remember in that meeting in Jupiter that they had, and they came out of the meeting and said, we're not going to get this lockout solved. And everyone's, all right, well, baseball's done. That's it. and these sort of topics keep coming up. And yeah, like in a perfect world, we would want an off season where it's, you say, this is when you have to sign guys by, these are the limitations that you have, and everyone just get it done. We've seen it in other sports. It obviously is better for the sport, but that's, baseball is so rigid when it comes to stuff like this. I just don't think it won't happen. And when the conversation does get surfaced, then that's when we're, like I said, collective bargaining agreement expires. We're going to go through this all over again. This thing that we said that could never, ever happen again. But, you know, would anybody be surprised if it does happen again? That baseball's so awesome in so many ways, and they made so many improvements over the last couple of years. But the one thing they just can't get out of their own way about is just this strife between the owners and the Players Association.
To that end, Rob, you know, look at some of these smaller market teams. Every year, one starts to make a push and you know, obviously will make the playoffs and make some noise. Is there a team that you have your eyes on, whether it's Kansas City this year, makes another big, Detroit makes another big leap? Who does it look like for you?
Yeah, you know, you just mentioned two, and honestly, I'm not just saying because you mentioned them, but, you know, I just had Lucas Ursig, the reliever, the closer for the Royals, on for tomorrow's podcast. And, you know, he was reminding me, like, how good they were and that run that they made. And really, you know, they hit the Yankees and they didn't play that well. But, you know, the way the Yankees were on a dominant team, if the Royals were playing their best, they could have beaten the Yankees. And then you have Detroit, the run that they went on. And I do think that those two teams are – we always said the AL Central stinks. But then the Guardians of the Guardians, they did their thing. And then you have Detroit and you have Kansas City, all of a sudden out of nowhere, really, really good teams. And Detroit isn't going to have to be that team where you're having a bullpen game 4 out of every 5 days. They actually have starters, or will have starters this time around. And I heard also, I talked to some players who actually wanted to play in Detroit. Now, Alex Bregman didn't want to play in Detroit, but I've heard players who actually now want to play in Detroit because they see sort of the upside of that organization, of that team. So, you know, I think those teams do jump out. And I always never discount Arizona. I think that, I know Arizona invested a lot of money in more starting pitching, and that's backfired them in the past. But I just like the way they run things there. So I would put them in that group too.
Got about a minute, Rob. What about Bregman going to the Red Sox? What's that mean? I thought he might end up with the Cubs.
Yeah, I think that the Red Sox were able to play the market correctly. So you had a couple teams that were willing to give him more years, which he wanted, Detroit, maybe Toronto, but he didn't want to go there. And then you have Houston. They're saying, oh, they had the 6-year offer. I don't even know if that was an offer. You know, honestly, they might have been doing him a favor. Who knows? It didn't make any sense to me. But then I think it came about the Red Sox and Cubs, and I think the Red Sox were just positioned to pay him more per year than the Cubs were. They're in a better financial position. And you know, so the Red Sox won, man. Like, the Red Sox, and I've said this all along, I haven't seen a better free agent fit for a player in a long time than Alex Bregman for the Red Sox, even though he's going to have to play second base, for clubhouse, for the dynamic of the business, for actually going to the top of the tier in a pretty weak American League. So, yeah, I mean, I think I got to give it to the Red Sox. They did a good job of playing the market and getting their guy.
I thought so too. Tell everybody when they can check out the podcast, man.
Every single day, Baseball is a Boring Podcast. Be up by 8 a.m. Today was Ryan Brazier of the Cubs. Tomorrow's Lucas Ursig. Our owner, Joe Kelly's popping back on, and we had Garrett Crochet on it as well today. So all good. But you guys are awesome. I always enjoyed my conversations with you. And so I'm going to try to find ways maybe not to be as optimistic about the Braves, because I feel, again, I'm way too optimistic about the Braves. But we'll see. You know, that's what spring training's for, to get all jacked up.
Yeah, no doubt. Hey, Rob, thanks so much. Appreciate you stopping by, man.
All right, good talking with you. Thanks.
Rob Bradford, guys, here on Dukes and Bell. Zeno in for Mike, who's off today. This hour is brought to you by our friends at Padley. Sell your home for cash fast. PadlyBuys.com. All right, we're going to come back. I've got to have Zeno reset this thing for me about the general manager and Kirk Cousins and how somebody's going to come trade for him. And then along the way, we will talk about what happened with the Hawks as well, because last night they should have won that game. They should have won the game. We'll get into that and much more here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Again, this hour brought to you by our friends at Padley. Sell your home for cash fast. PadleyBuys.com. That's P-A-D-L-Y. Mark Zeno, man, thanks for being here. Mike's off today. I'm sure yesterday with Turtle, he talked a lot about taking Becky out to Las Vegas. So he's off for the next few days, and today Mark Zeno is here. Now, Zeno, before we start, I did not get a chance, you know, to be on the first segment there. We were having some connection issues. I'm actually down here at the Gateway Center for the Skyhawks tonight as they finish up a back-to-back and get ready for their break, which is going to be the All-Star game for the G League. But you were telling Turtle that you believe some team is going to come in and trade for Kirk Cousins. And I just want you to explain this to me. You believe that's going to happen?
Well, no. I don't believe some team is going to come calling. I believe it's on the GM to go find the team and the offer together and put the offer together that they're willing to take him off your hands, whichever team that is. You know, again, remember, the deal is going to be very favorable for the other side. The Falcons are going to pay most of the contract. They're going to have to eat a lot of the money. But what you're doing here is freeing up cap space down to $12.5 million with a post-June 1st designation on the trade. So instead of having $40 million, you'll save $27.5 million this year. You have $25 million dead next year no matter what, no matter what you do with them. That's locked in. There's no changing that. So if you'd like to be able to do all these things in the offseason and address a lot of these needs, you're going to have more flexibility within the cap. And so whatever that deal looks like, whoever wants him, whoever may need him, and there's plenty of teams starved for quarterbacks out there. Trust me, there are. I don't believe the Jets to be one of them. I don't believe they think that this is the upgrade that they need, given at this point in time in the direction that they want to go. I could be wrong on that, but I just it doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
And yeah, again, no, I agree with
the Jets
you on
never
that,
make a whole lot of sense. So
no, they
that.
Don't. I agree with you on the Jets. Listen, I think Aaron Glenn, and I'm not saying this because I've spoken with him, you know, about this, but I know AG really well, and I will tell you, he is looking to build the right way.
Right.
If that means them drafting the guy this particular draft or you know figuring that out, they're going to do that. He's not going to just pick up a guy and have him there for a couple of years. He doesn't believe in that. He thinks that the best way that they can move forward and he can have long-term viability there is building the right way. So I agree with you. I don't think he's going to go to the Jets. Yeah. But there are teams that may want his services. Here's my thing, though, Zeno, and this is what I'm asking you. If they release him next month, all right, and I know you're saying somebody's got to trade for him, and that means Terry's on the phones, working the phones, and convincing, I guess, some other team that they need him. But if they release him next month, they're eating $65 million.
Over 2 years, yes. Over 2 years, yeah. I mean, they're gonna eat that regardless, right? That's the cap hit over the next 2 years, whether he's on the roster or they cut him, right? I think they saved $2.5 million this year. It gets down to $37.5 million.
Well, his roster bonus is right after the league year starts.
And again,
so
the actual money being paid and changing hands here is not part of the conversation. That's really not. I mean, again.
Well, it hurts the Falcons. It's not a problem for the other team, but it hurts the Falcons.
Of course it does, but that's the deal you made with the devil in signing Kirk Cousins and drafting his replacement was this. This was the deal you made, that if it went belly up, you were going to eat all of this, whether you kept him on the roster or not. And so, you know, the expectation here that the Falcons are going to eat, you know, most of the actual physical paying of the money, that's not really part of the concern here. Because the team getting him is only going to have to pay his base salary for next year, the way the trade works out, and then after that they're done. So they're going to get a lot of room here.
Okay, so here's the thing though. Pick your team. It's Dukes and Bell Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Zeno, pick your team. Why am I trading for him if I don't have to, when I know that this other team's going to release him and all I have to do
again,
is pay him
a
minimum amount of money to join me?
I legitimately believe the Falcons when they say, when they said, quote, we are comfortable, and comfortable is not the right word, okay? They are tolerant of keeping him on the roster the way it is, right? Because if Penix goes belly up or he gets hurt or whatever, you know, they have a guy that already knows the system and everybody's like, in their minds, they are willing to keep him for that reason. Plus, they hate admitting when they make a mistake. Much like the whole Deshaun Watson thing where they never admitted, that was a bad idea on our part. It didn't work out in our favor. They don't like to admit they made mistakes. So believe them when they say they will keep him on the roster or they will trade him. I do not think that they will cut him. I genuinely
I might have believed you before. Now I have a hard time believing that they are willing to do
that. Well, I mean,
because of the admission that he was hurt and did not tell them and cheated not only his teammates, but them as well. The people who believed in him, the people who brought him in, the people who paid him, all he had to do was own it and say, hey, I'm not 100%. You know what? I'm going to give my team the best chance to win. And he didn't do those things.
I didn't forget how to play quarterback.
Yes, you did. Yes, you did. I would believe you. I would have believed you before that.
Well, I told you.
Now, as an organization, you know, you got to let this dude go.
I mean,
he's got to go.
Again, all he was doing in that thing objectively was him and his agents were creating a market for himself. This is the reason I played poorly. I was hurt. You know, I wasn't 100%. Okay, but again, I'm not talking about the Falcons side.
I don't give a damn why he did it.
Okay.
He owned the truth, and this is the problem now. The problem is you can't trust him. This idea that he's coming back as your backup is absolutely ridiculous.
I thought it was ridiculous when they said they were comfortable keeping him on the roster, which should have been said in that point. We're going to move on from Kirk. We got to figure out what that looks like. You know, they never say that, obviously, because it deludes the market for him. But the point simply is that for them to cut him doesn't make them more capable of making moves in the offseason to make the team better. For them to trade him, it does make them more capable to make moves better. They will have more cap space to sign guys, to keep guys around here, and not let dudes hit the last year of their contract. Theoretically, let me ask you this question. Let's just take Caleb McGarry as an instance. Let's say Caleb McGarry has an awesome year, right?
Okay.
And he prices himself out of being here, or somebody wants to pay him more than what the Falcons are next year. Like, that's the risk you're running by letting all these guys who are in the last year of their deal, whether it's Grady, Onyemata, get McGarry, whoever else it may be, that is in the last year of their deal here, that's the risk you run of letting them play the final year of their deal without a new one because they can outprice themselves from this market, or they could want to go somewhere else. I mean, again, there are so many moves. This whole roster is in a state of flux right now for the next 3 to 5 years, and I don't think people realize that enough, and you're leaving it in the hands of a guy, for all intents and purposes, at this point, feels like a lame duck GM.
All right, so that's where this goes. It's Dukes and Bell. That's where this leads to, right? I mean, look, we can agree to disagree on what needs to happen with Cousins, how it's going to play out, and ultimately where this goes. But they do have those decisions to make. We both agree. But this leads us back to what you really want to get to, and that is, let's be honest, you don't trust the GM. You don't think the GM's going to be able to turn this around, get the right players here, do the moves that need to be made to make this team competitive moving forward. That is what you're saying, right?
I mean, to a certain extent, listen, I feel like I have a good relationship with Terry. You know, I mean, he's never been, you know, off-put to me, and, you know, I like him a lot.
Well, until you don't ask the question.
Well, yeah. I like him a lot, but the point simply is that, you know, Terry can't look in the mirror at himself and lie and say, I've done a good job so far. Like, that's objectively not a fact. He hasn't done a good job. The drafts have been subpar. Last year's draft was zero. And they don't have enough, you know, wins and playoff appearances on his resume for you to sit there and go, yes, things are trending in the right direction with this general manager. That's objective and fair. I'm sorry if that offends anybody in the Falcons organization, but that's objective and fair from my seat. I'm not, you know, I don't call for guys to lose their jobs, but objectively, most GMs who miss the playoffs four straight years, don't keep their job. They just don't anymore in the NFL. So, you know, again, to give him one more year and say, okay, we got to make the playoffs here, kind of, you know, similar to what happened with Arthur Smith. Oh, we got to make the playoffs, right? Like, he's in this state right now where all the pressure is on him to somehow get this team to make the playoffs. And the roster construction is a big part of that. If you can't move on from Kirk Cousins and give yourself some cap space for this year, because remember, again, the cap is always year to year, guys. Like, who cares about 2-3 years down the road?
You don't care about next year. Me.
Yeah. I mean, what? You care about 2-3 years down the road?
No,
you're saying
I never care about the only cap year that matters is this year.
And getting more cap space this year is ultimately the most important thing in order to sign guys, in order to be able to, you know, make this team better now. And if you're willing to sit there for $40 million on the cap and not have any production out of them, that's derelict from a GM seat. And it shouldn't be accepted by anybody. That's just the bottom line of it.
All right. So I'm going to say this, and some of you may or may not believe this, and I've said this to Mike numerous times.
You agree with me? Oh, no.
Well, not quite.
Oh, okay.
But I've said this to Mike numerous times as we've had this conversation. And as much as we want to put all the onus on Terry Fontenot, and I get it, he's a general manager, I will also tell you when he got here, All of these picks were not his. When he got here and joined a guy named Arthur Smith, who had an idea and a plan about how he wanted to build this team, he was allowed to go ahead and do that. And I want you to go back and look at the picks.
Yep.
Go look at the picks that we decided to go after when Arthur Smith got here. Okay?
See.
And I will tell you, simply put, as you know, that as much as we put this on, you know, the general manager, because he's still here and Arthur isn't, the fact is, the general manager went along with that plan because he trusted the guy to have an idea of what he wanted to do offensively. And you look at our picks, whether it was Bijan, which I agreed with, and I thought that was the guy we should get, whether it was Drake, right? He came in, he got Pitts. The whole idea was, I'm going to build this offense so we can be dynamic and score points. And meanwhile, Terry is on the clock with him. But I'm here to tell you guys, that was not all Terry Fontenot. Now, it's different.
I know.
And now I can say that whatever happens moving forward, I truly believe that Terry is much more involved. So to answer your question, or at least to kind of sum this up, because I don't think that a lot of people don't feel the way you do. Like with the way the season went and the things that played out, you go, man, is Terry going to be able to fix this? But the fact is, he did it and bought in with the coach because he thought him and the coach were going to be here for a while.
Yeah.
The coach gets got. He's here. The new guy comes in, and guess what? Now everybody's going, look what you did. These are all your picks. I'm here to tell you guys, that's not all true. It's just not.
Let me put a couple of things together here, because I agree with what your stance is that it wasn't. This lends to two bigger problems here, okay?
Yes, but when you talk about roster construction, you can't blame just one guy.
Just hear me out here. Okay. I'm not. And this is... this is a generic problem with the organizational philosophy of the Falcons. I talked about this last week when I filled in for Steak on the Steakhouse.
You filled in for me?
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
Okay.
We talked burgers and everything.
Awesome.
But beyond that, so this whole idea of collaboration, if I hear them say that word one more time, it's going to be on in a press conference because I'm not here for it. Okay? Collaboration in terms of the Falcons is no one's in charge and no one's to blame. And that's the problem. This whole collaboration stuff, guess what, Deuce? Collaboration. Right. Stop. Okay, stop collaborating. Because guess what?
What?
Guess what?
What?
Your collaboration doesn't work. If it did, you'd have better results. So what I want, and this is where I get ticked off because I'm tired of hearing this collaboration stuff.
What do you want, Zeno?
I want somebody to say, I'm the guy in charge. It's on me. That's what you need, okay? Because, again, you're right. All those draft picks were collaborative with Arthur Smith because that's the philosophy that they used. Because guess what? The collaboration all falls under one guy, and that's the damn owner. And here's the problem, because the owner...
But you don't want the owner up front of everybody saying that.
Yeah, absolutely I do. I want the owner saying it's my fault.
No, you don't, because then you're going to say he's meddling. No, you don't.
Well, I think we have enough facts in that scenario that that's already the case. But the point simply is that, you know what? If this is on Fontenot to fix this roster, then let it be on him. Stop with the collaboration stuff. Because, again, collaboratively, Arthur Smith was promised more years than what he got here.
Yes.
Collaboratively, a lot of things were supposed to happen that didn't happen. Collaboratively, when you made the draft pick for Kyle Pitts, when you made the draft pick for Drake and for Bijan, collaboratively, only two things have worked, Bijan and Drake. Other than that, your collaboration stinks. It's awful. And so stop collaborating. Put somebody in charge. Let them be somebody who's willing to accept the responsibility for success and failure, and then deal with the consequences of it. And that's part of the organizational problem and why they keep beating their head against the wall, expecting different results, because collaboration doesn't work. Let Terry Fontenot be the GM. Let him pick the guys. Let him make the decisions. If it works, great. If it doesn't, time to move on. This isn't hard. That's how successful organizations do it. Of course they're all going to talk. Of course they're all going to have conversations. But ultimately, the decision should rest with one individual on roster construction, and that is the general manager, because that's what general managers are paid to do.
Zeno, it can't work that way.
It can, because it does for success. Hi, Howie Roseman works in Philadelphia. How'd it work for them?
Let me say this.
Okay.
Let me say this. When you have a track record like that, it's different when you're trying to build.
When you have a track record of losing, you need to change the track record. No. You need to change the process.
You need to know what your coach wants. What's your defensive coordinator? Do you think Jeff Olbrich is not going to have any say if they go number one, first draft pick at 15, let's hope we stay there, or wherever we're going to be, that he's not going to have any say into what kind of guy he wants?
I didn't say he couldn't have say. But ultimately,
well, then that's collaborations, you know?
Okay.
That's collaboration.
All right, come on. There's a difference between getting input and somebody making the decision. I do this stuff in the military all the time. I take input from my staff.
Yes, the
military
is different. You have a colonel. You have a lieutenant colonel. You have a general. Right. There's levels. There's difference. Nobody's going to tell the general he's an idiot. Come on,
I did once.
Well, that's that explains it.
Yeah.
Hey, man.
Didn't go
we
well.
Got more to get to. I had a hell of a day yesterday, y'all. I mean, a hell of a day.
Tell me about it, baby.
Oh, my God. And you are going to be blown away because I was blown away. Yeah, look, I don't even know how I'm here today. I'll be honest with you. We'll get into that and much more when we come back. Hey, by the way, our daily download is brought to you by our friends at ATL Live Well. Don't just live, live well. More with Mark Zeno, who's in for Mike. It's Dukes and Bell.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. But there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.